listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 5th day of April, year of our Lord 2019, welcome to the John Moore Show. Prepper tip of the day, I want to encourage all of you to stock up on medical and sanitation supplies, things that are easy to get now, fairly inexpensive, especially if you buy case lots. You need to be looking at case lots, quite frankly, rather than buying onesies and twosies off the shelf. Stock up on them now, keep them in a cool, dry place, and they'll be ready whenever you need them, however far in the future that might be. We have patient waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began a quest more than half a century ago to become quite knowledgeable in anything and everything to do with two-way radio communications, emergency communications, radio frequency engineering, and electronics in general, which turned out to be a good choice for him because it became his career. Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Hi, John. Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful, sir.
Good.
I continue to get notes from our listeners all over the United States thanking you and I for what we do here on Fridays. Ham radio does not really get in the mainstream media very frequently. Typically, what I'll see and what most people will see will be maybe a 30-second blurb in the middle or near the end of a major catastrophe like Hurricane Katrina, where they give credit to the ham radio people for saving lives. But other than that, it's rarely, if ever, in the mainstream media, is it, Tom?
Very rarely, John. It's forgotten about. It's certain, I guess, when the crisis is taking place, but afterwards it's quickly forgotten about. But the ham operators keep plugging away, and they're always ready at a moment's notice.
That's right. That's right. All over the country, and in fact, all over the world. It is an international pursuit, international hobby, international endeavor, that even in highly restrictive places, they do, like Russia, for example. In fact, you got on some list yourself because of communications when you were a teenager with Russians, didn't you?
John, back in those days, this was in the late 60s when I first got involved in ham radio, I guess you would say the Cold War was still on. There was a lot of restrictions as to communications with Russia, but or USSR at the time. But the ham operators were allowed to talk to them. I don't know what kind of restrictions they had on the ham operators in the Soviet Union, but we talked to them all the time. In fact, I used to feel sorry for these Russians. They'd send me what was called a QSL card, and that means it's a verification of your two-way communication. It's like a postcard with your call sign on it and the information about your radio equipment, everything. And I would look at the cards I'd get from these Russians. I still have them, and I should show them to you someday. These guys would say they have an 18-tube receiver and homemade, and some of their stuff sounded very crude. And in a way, I felt sorry for them. They didn't have the really nice store-bought equipment that we had here. But what I didn't realize at the time, being a young kid like that, that these guys were getting the education of a lifetime. I mean, they built these receivers and transmitters from total scratch. I mean, they started with nothing and just took the parts and put these things together and built their own equipment. So they actually turned out some very, very top-notch electrical engineers because of that, and I'm sure they put that to use in various ways. A lot of the hams back in the day, even here in the States and all over the world, built their own equipment, and I did to some extent, but I never built an 18-tube receiver. That would take quite a while for anybody to do. You have to have a very well-equipped workshop, and a lot of the ham operators did, but very few would build something that complex. And that would be a very complex piece of equipment, but they did.
Well, there was a time when Heathkit was really the top of the heap when it came to kits to build your own radios. It turns out they're still in business, and their website is heathkit.com. I probably should put a link up on my website. But they have quite a few products that they offer for sale that allow people to build their own radios. Here's a clock that they offer for sale. And let's see what else they have here. It's not coming up as quick as a stealth antenna kit, whatever that means. I guess you can have an antenna and people wouldn't know it, a stealth antenna kit. Audio generators, a Heathkit crystal band frequency calculator, a dial kit for a classic HG10. So there's lots of things they have here. Upgrades for existing kits and so forth. Did you ever build any Heathkits yourself, Tom?
Oh, yeah, I sure did. I had quite a few pieces of their equipment. And, you know, the Heathkit that you're reading about now, John, is not the same one from prior years. They actually closed down. They were in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and they shut down. I think somebody else picked up the pieces and fired it back up again in a limited capacity. They had such an extensive range of products. It was quite impressive. They had they even had color television sets. If you wanted to build a color television, you could order that from Heathkit. I built a small stereo system that they offered, several pieces of ham radio equipment. I also had some Heathkit equipment that was already built that I bought secondhand from other ham operators. And then I built some of their power supplies, some test equipment, things like that. And it was good equipment. The only thing you had to watch out for if you bought anything secondhand is how good was the guy that built it, you know, who put it together.
Right.
How good
right.
was the soldering? And, you know, John, one of the biggest problems with building equipment and Heathkits in particular, any kind of kit building, and there is a lot of interest in kit building with the ham operators to this very day. And there's other small companies that offer specific types of kits, mainly for the low-power enthusiasts. They call that QRP. QRP means lower your power. And it's just a mode of operation. Everybody just calls it QRP, which means very low power. Sometimes maybe even a half of watt, one half of 1 watt of power. And you can talk all over the world with that if the conditions are right. I've done that myself. But there's a lot of small companies that will offer kits like that, and they'll tell you the biggest problem that they run into is not following the instructions and poor solder joints. You have to learn how to solder, and that's a skill that's that really needs to be learned by anybody getting into ham radio. Learn how to solder and do it right, and then also follow the instructions if you're building a kit. A lot of the equipment I make, I start from scratch, and I acquired the shop equipment over the years, so I have milling machines and lathes and sheet metal shop and punches and just all types of shears. I have several foot shears that I use to shear the metal to size, and I use it for plastics as well. And it, you know, it takes a lifetime to gather all that stuff up, John, but once you have it, you can build control panels and the front panels for your equipment, and you can put some really interesting items together that can be very useful for your ham radio station.
Absolutely. Well, I was in Special Forces active duty. I bought a Heathkit shortwave receiver from one of my buddies in Special Forces, and it worked perfectly. It had great reception, great audio, and I had that for many, many years. And it was a good piece of equipment. I was glad that I had it. Even had a place to plug in earphones if you wanted to listen privately. So, and I'm at their website right now, the new Heathkit, and it is a pretty limited range of equipment that they have for sale compared to the old days with the original Heathkit. But many of our listeners are homeschool people that teach their children at home, and not only Heathkit, but there's other sources for simple electronic kits for entry level for youngsters to get started, isn't there, Tom?
Yes, there is, and no specific names come to mind right now, John, but there are some that offer kits. And another thing, and you know, another company was Nightkit. My first shortwave receiver was a Nightkit, and it was called a Star Roamer, and that was a pretty popular radio back in the late 60s or throughout the 60s, and it put it together, and that's how I was able to start listening and get my Morse code speed up to a level high enough where I could pass my first test. So it was a education in itself, just putting all those parts together in that chassis and soldering everything, and then putting it on the air, hooking it up with an antenna and listening. And I heard shortwave stations all over the world the first night I use that receiver. I still have it. It's kind of crude technically, but it does work. And another thing everybody should keep in mind if you're purchasing some of this older Heathkit equipment, if it has tubes in it, even some of the solid state equipment, as it gets older, the capacitors start aging. And that's one of the first things you have to do on if you're reviving a piece of older electronic equipment, is you have to replace a lot of the electrolytic capacitors as they dry out with time. But they're inexpensive and they can be purchased. There's even companies that offer complete kits of their required capacitors to revitalize any specific piece of equipment. They advertise some of these. I've seen them on eBay for some various pieces of ham equipment that I've bought recently to because I just had an interest in it, and they offer the capacitor kits. So if you want to, they call it recapping. If you want to recap that piece of equipment, you can go to one of these sellers, and they've done all the homework. You know, they put it all together, and everything you need is in one kit, and you can bring that piece of equipment back to life.
Well, there's a website for Nightkit, and basically it's a something that helps people remember what Nightkit used to be, best I can tell. they're not selling anything except coffee mugs and some PDFs about Nightkit manuals. Yeah. So that's all gone by the wayside. But I know at Amazon.com, I've personally seen electronic kits, entry-level electronic kits to build radios that would be suitable for boys and girls 8, 9, 10 years old to get started into electronics. It's a good thing for youngsters to get involved in adult activities. And I've said this many times, Tom, what children's play is typically mimicking and pretending what to do, what adults do. Where this is an example, once again, where children can actually do an adult activity, and building a piece of electronic equipment, by definition, is an adult activity, even if it's entry level, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's correct. And also, back to the kits, John, there are several suppliers. I'd have to look them up, find out who they are, but they'll sell what's called a breadboard system, and it will have a small power supply on it, and it has these boards that have thousands of little holes with, and you can plug in various components, resistors, capacitors, transistors. You can plug the chips in so the pin spacing is correct, and you can then use small pieces of wire and plug these different parts together to make up circuits. I actually use these breadboard units to do the preliminary design on any new piece of equipment. The energy cleaner I make was developed that way. Plug the chips into that breadboard thing, test out the software, you can pull the chip back out, reprogram it, go back and forth until you get it just right.
All right.
That's how we develop that piece of equipment as well as many others. It starts that way. You can go to some of the largest companies, and if they have an electronics lab, you'll see those engineers using that very type of equipment to develop certain circuits before they actually design
the printed
circuit.
Would that be called a pre-production prototype?
It'd be called a very crude lab prototype or sample to just get it working, and then from that they can fine-tune the schematic, and then from the schematic they do what's called a schematic capture, and then from that data they turn it into the actual printed circuit layout. Then that printed circuit layout is sent off to the printed circuit fabricator that will make the bare boards. And when they get the bare boards back, they can put the parts on them and start soldering the parts to the board. And it goes from there. And then you have to spend a lot of time fabricating cabinets. You have to, if it's sheet metal or plastic or whatever you're using for the enclosure and the plastic pieces for all of that, you have to do that work, and I use plastic and metal. Sometimes you can even use wood. Maybe you want a decorative type of cabinet, so you might have a woodworking shop, and you're able to do that type of work. That's pretty nice also. John, I always made my own circuit boards. It started in the mid-60s. I got interested in it, making some printed circuits from a kit. And then I started making circuit boards for my ham radio projects, little transmitters and circuits that I was working with. And then that actually, in future years, that developed into an actual printed circuit plant. So I was in that business for many years and made multi-layer printed circuits for all types of customers all over the country.
Well, it's fascinating. All this area I find very fascinating. And for you homeschool moms and dads out there and grandparents of homeschoolers, I know that homeschool families are always looking for interesting, fun, educational project for the youngsters. And this would be another thing to throw into the mix that has a lot of benefit to it, to teach the boys and girls new skills, to teach them about electronics, and to have a finished product that the youngster can use in the form of if it's a radio, obviously using it as a radio to listen to their local AM or FM radio stations, or maybe even listen to shortwave radio. It's all a win-win situation, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, John. It is a win-win. And the young people putting together these kits, they learn how to use voltmeters, ohm meters. They'll need a piece of test equipment like that. And the good part about it is today some of those entry-level test equipment items are so inexpensive. I mean, very inexpensive, and it's really easy to get a young person started probably that's, for $100 right. or so they could get going.
Hold on, we have a break. We'll be right back.
Here's a little song.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is J.R. Moore. I want to talk to you for a moment about my sponsor, GoldWealthFinancial.com, and investing in gold and silver. Gold and silver coin investing is considered a safe investment because of its physicality. For this reason, it's where many institutional investors put their money when signs of an economic downturn strike. In most stock market crashes and corrections, the prices of gold and silver rise steeply, while stocks and other exchange-traded funds plummet. At my website at thelibertyman.com, you'll find a link to goldwealthfinancial.com. You need to check them out. It's a great website, great people to work with, and they have a telephone number. That telephone number is 480-440-7100. I say again, 480-440-7100. Check them out, do your research, and give them a call. Thank you.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton or town there. I'm often got to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
Let's gentlemen, J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 5th day of April. You want to have a great time this October, if you'd like to. Have a great time on the Patriot Symposium Cruise with myself and Leon Green. Well, go to my website at thelibertyman.com, get the details. Myself and Leon and a number of other people, I hope you can be one of them, will be leaving Miami on October 12th. And be on a 7-day Caribbean cruise, the John Moore Patriot Symposium Cruise. I'll be able to talk about things there I can't possibly talk about live on air. And it'll be a great time. Get the details there at my website at thelibertyman.com. Tom, I'm here at Amazon, and they have different kits here. Here's a couple that caught my interest. This one is Maxitronics 75-in-1 Electronic Project Lab, which has 7,500 electronic experiments, $53.63 delivered to your door. How about that? A little bit less expensive, 130 experiments for $35 delivered to your door. Some outfit called Elenco, E-L-E-N-C-O, and dozens of other projects from other under $10 and going on up there. Well, let's see. I don't see under $10, but I see 11 and 12. Oh, here's a couple under $10. Yeah. Electronic clock kit for $10 delivered to your door. Lots of possibilities for youngsters to get involved, entry level for learning electronics and not spending a lot of money. Right, Tom?
Yes, John, that's absolutely correct. You know, you mentioned Elenco. I do have one of their breadboard systems, by the way. In fact, the energy cleaner was developed on an Elenco breadboard unit. So there you go. It's inexpensive, and you can get a youngster started with this, even a 4 or 5-year-old kid. One of the parents would help them sit down and just follow the instructions. Even a very young child could pick up on this pretty quick. It's simple to do. There's nothing dangerous about it. There's no hot soldering irons. You're just plugging these parts together, and then you can see the results. And, you know, John, you'll see a kid's eyes light up when they do all this, and then as sounds coming out of a speaker or lights are blinking from things that they did with their own hands. And when they see this, they get quite excited and interested, and then they pursue this. And you can be very instrumental in turning out very skilled electrical engineer sometime in the future. That young person will have a career that's a very high-paying career.
Well, I'd say it's a fair statement, Tom, that 99 out of 100 adults don't have a clue what happens when they turn on their cell phone, don't have a clue what happens when they turn on their TV, how that's happening, why it's happening. Would that be a fair statement, Tom, that 99 out of 100 American adults are pretty much clueless as to what's actually happened when they turn on their electronic device?
Well, that's very true. I mean, that's across the board. People turn on the water faucet. They don't have a clue as to how that plumbing works. They flip a light switch.
No, they don't.
Any of the utilities that are connected to their home. They don't know much about it. Most people don't. The electrical side of it is what I've always focused on. And these electronic kits could teach anybody, not even a child, but even an adult that has an interest. If somebody has an interest in ham radio and they want to learn more about the inner workings of these circuits, these kits are even very valuable for any adult. Age means nothing as far as learning. I think we should learn our whole lives. So it's an inexpensive way to get some electronic knowledge.
That's right. That's right. Well, I encourage people to certainly put that in the mix for homeschoolers and, like you say, Tom, for anybody who has an interest in electronics and learning something new. And I know for myself, I'm always seeking out knowledge and interested in learning new things and brushing up on old things as well. So I keep my hands in a lot of different things here. If you got a question or comment about what we're talking about, you're certainly welcome to give us a call here at 800-313-9443. And, of course, besides being fun and educational, there's a serious side to learning these, and that has to do with what happens during a localized regional emergency or even a nationwide emergency. Right, Tom?
Well, that's very true. And so, taking the knowledge that maybe somebody learned from building kits and learning how these circuits work, and then using that to increase their knowledge and learn the ham radio skills, obtaining their ham license, they can now take that information, John, get that radio equipment on the air. They know how it works, and sometimes you learn from experience what not to do, but you'll get your antennas set up, and you'll be a ready-made communicator in the hard times of a crisis. You'll be able to communicate and help other people in your local area to get messages through when all systems are down.
That's right. Hold on, everybody. We'll be right back after the break.
twice.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. I want to talk to you for a moment about my friend Steve Hunt and his company, Gold Wealth Financial. That website's goldwealthfinancial.com. There's a link at my website, thelibertyman.com. I know you've been investing in brass, ordnance, steel, and lead for years. It's time to move forward and also invest in gold and silver. Go to Steve's website, goldwealthfinancial.com. Download the free Rookie Mistakes Guide. If you don't have internet access, I know many of you don't, give him a call, and he'll mail you a copy of it. It's beautiful, 480-440-7100. I say again, 480-440-7100. Steve has put together a great team of men and women that really know their stuff, can help you learn about how to invest in gold and silver safely, economically, and do it the right way. You'll be very glad to work with Steve and his people. Thank you very much.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Well, we now have a reason to go to my website pretty much every day. If you go to my website, thelibertyman.com, if you're interested in geopolitical matters and keeping up to date, a friend of mine, former U.S. Counterintelligence agent, he puts together a daily update. And right there on my website, it says Open Source Intelligence. It's a place you can go to pretty much 7 days a week to get current updates of what's going on all over the planet. It's very well done. I'm very happy that he's allowed me to make use of this and place it on my website. I think you'll get a lot out of it if you want to keep up to date on geopolitical matters. Also on my website, of course, you'll find energy clinic for sale. I talked to two gentlemen yesterday. One, I could not place his accent. Obviously not a native-born American. Very interested in the energy cleaner. He's studying up on it. The other gentleman is making use of several different energy devices, and we talked briefly about the energy cleaner and how he might incorporate into his protocols that he's using. On one hand, on the other, if you have arthritis pain, and you're taking various pharmaceutical products over the counter or prescription, either one, you know you can't do that long term without causing harm to yourself. You do know that, don't you? I hope you do. The Energy Cleaner can't cause any harm. If you have arthritis pain, the Energy Cleaner is precisely what you need. Do you want to sleep like as good as a child every night like I do? Well, that's also a good reason to get an Energy Cleaner, isn't it? $285 shipping included to the American zip codes. The mattress pads that go with them, well, they do. They vary in price depending on what you need. Full, queen, California king, the handy travel size, the twin size. They're all right there at my website where you can study up on them. Make your choice. Use PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. You can call my toll-free auto line 24 hours a day also. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. I should mention, if you do not have internet access and you want information on the John Moore Patriot Symposium cruise, give Betsy a call at 636-530-9502. I say again, Betsy's phone number for the cruise information to be mailed to you, 636-530-9502. We're visiting with Tom Berryhill. We're talking about electronics. We're talking about emergency communications and how you can get involved and have fun doing it. Right, Tom?
That's right, John. Ham radio can be a lot of fun. It can be an education. It can also just be a hobby where you enjoy talking to people all over the world using various modes, whether it be a microphone, a telegraph key, even your computer, a laptop computer, or a tablet can be tied into many of these radio systems and use the digital modes of communications. There's no cell phones involved. There's no towers unless you have your own tower, but it goes from your radio equipment to the distant station. That's the infrastructure, just the atmosphere in between. So your signal goes through the atmosphere to the distant station, whether it be across the street, down the road, or halfway around the world. So you set up the system. The station on the other end has their system set up, and you communicate. It's interesting. It's been a lot of fun for me for over 50 years now, and very educational at the same time.
Well, that's good to know. It's excellent to know, and people need to be aware of this and just check it out and become part of it, really. Become part of it. I know as an outsider, it may look and appear to be intimidating, but just, you know, suck it up, man up, or woman up, as the case may be, and take that leap and get involved. A good starting point is to locate your local ham radio club. You can do that through the ARRL website, can't you, Tom?
That's the best way to start, John. The American Radio Relay League, ARRL.org, they have so many publications all the way from very easy to read and understand elementary entry-level publications, books, pamphlets, information that will help you get started, all the way to some very, very high tech, extensive engineering manuals and publications. So they're the source. They're the ones to go to. And there's various other sources as well, lots of websites out there that will help you get started. It's easier than ever before. In the old days, it was rather intimidating. I think the test today is a lot simpler, and it's been simplified because the equipment is more reliable. You don't have to know all the ins and outs of how the inner workings of this radio equipment takes place. It's not that important because the equipment is pretty much plug and play nowadays. You set up your antenna. Most new hams will have the most trouble will be setting up the antenna and getting it correctly adjusted. That's where they'll have the most trouble. They may need some assistance from other club members. So that's why it's a good idea to find a ham radio club in your area, get familiar with how they conduct their meetings, when they have their meetings, and go and introduce yourself, meet some of the people, and they'll be glad to help you learn the ropes and get started. Many of these clubs will also administer the test. Every AM radio license now is administered by volunteer examiners. It's usually a radio club, and then they will conduct the testing session, send the results into the FCC, and then you just check the FCC website to see when your call sign is issued. And that's it. That's how you do it. And once you have your call sign, you can get on the air, and these ham clubs will help you get all of that accomplished. It's really, it seems intimidating, but it really isn't, John. You just take it one little step at a time.
One little step at a time. That's how it works. One little step at a time. And you don't need to bite off a big chunk and try to do things you're not able to do. It's a building process where you start out taking little baby steps and incrementally learn a bit here and a bit there, and next thing you know, you're doing things that you want to do, communicating, getting your ham radio license, and helping be a part of your community that can help out when there is a crisis, right, Tom?
That's correct, John, and it's that's the beauty of ham radio is that when there is a crisis, the law enforcement agencies, the fire departments, they have systems that are set up and must operate on these specific channels. The ham operators can tune their radios to the band that's going to work the best for the distance they have to cover. They can make adjustments and set things up in the field that the commercial and law enforcement agencies are not able to do. So the hams have the skills to get this equipment set up in a very short period of time under adverse conditions, and they're up and running, and they can help out if needed, and they do on a regular basis. It's been going on since the inception of ham radio over 100 years ago.
That's right. Well, we encourage, we educate, we nudge, we do what we can, and we pick up a few people every week, people who are ready to take that step and become knowledgeable with ham radio to begin that process of studying for the ham radio license. And there's a big bonus when the studying part comes. You get to have what we never had in high school or college, either one, not only the answers, but all the questions as well. So you have access to all the questions and all the answers, which I would dearly have loved to have when I was in college and high school, wouldn't you, Tom?
Oh, yeah. John, the all the information is out there, and it's to just get into the testing websites that are available. It allows you to take simulated tests, and you'll find out pretty quick where you don't have any trouble in the areas where you need some assistance. So you take these tests and see where you got some results that aren't so good, and you can study up in those areas. And some of these testing websites will also give you some theory on the exact, if you have some difficulties with a certain area, they actually help you to brush up on that, why this answer is correct. And sometimes they'll have several answers that are correct, but one is more correct than the others, and you have to be sharp enough to pick up on that. And they help you learn the ropes and how it all works. So I would encourage anybody to look at some of these testing sites. I don't have them at hand, John, so I couldn't tell you what the website address is, but they're out there, and it's not too hard to do some searching and find these. But that's a good start, and a ham radio club in your area is also a very helpful thing to look into.
It is, and I encourage people to do this. Don't be intimidated, and I know because I felt a bit overwhelmed myself back in 1994 when I was looking at this and thinking, well, it's a lot of stuff to learn. It's really not. It's really not a big deal. Once you get into it, it's simple, it's easy, and as I frequently say, Tom, and you and I both say, we routinely have 8-year-old boys and girls taking and passing their ham radio test, don't we?
That happens all the time. And the kids really get in there and learn it quick. I mean, they're pretty fast to pick this stuff up. It just soaks in like a sponge, and they pass these tests all the time. So it puts the younger people on the air. you just need to learn enough to get that first license, and then you can take it from there. You can stay at that point and use the equipment, learn a little bit as you go, and when you're ready to upgrade, you just take the next test, and that gives you more on-the-air capabilities, frequency, additional frequency bands for wider range communications, and you go all the way to the top license if you want to. Not always required, but you can. And at that point, you have unlimited use to all amateur radio frequencies, and the equipment is inexpensive today relative to the old days. It's very inexpensive. You can get started for just a few $100 and have a very nice ham radio station set up.
That's very true. As hobbies go, it doesn't necessarily have to be expensive at all, does it, Tom?
No, it doesn't. You can start with a few dollars, but I would not recommend that anybody start with one of these real low-cost systems, because there's a lot to be desired there. That comes down the road when you have some skills, some on-the-air operating skills, and you know the ins and outs of this equipment, the inexpensive equipment that might be limited somewhat. I would say if somebody could budget $300 to $500, they could buy some used equipment to get them on the air. And I'm talking HF equipment, which operates in the shortwave bands where you can communicate worldwide. Some of these pieces of equipment also cover the UHF and VHF bands, so you can talk on a local basis and a regional basis with that same piece of equipment. If you're starting out with a technician license, you might want to obtain a VHF, a 2-meter radio, and you could do that for maybe even $100 or so for a used one, sometimes even less. But the number one mistake is don't run out and make your first piece of equipment a HT or a handheld walkie-talkie. That's going to lead to total frustration. Too many people think that handheld ham radio is going to operate just like their cell phone. No matter where they are, they get a signal, and that's not the case, because there's no cell towers or anything to pick up that signal. It can be very frustrating, but I would suggest at least a 30 to 50 watt mobile unit, and that can be set up as a base station. You can set that up at your house. Or
we have a caller. We have Glenn in Kansas. Good morning, Glenn.
Well, good morning, gentlemen, and you're on one of my favorite subjects, which is communications. I'm kind of old school. Yeah, I did a lot of Heath kits years ago. My first radio receiver, shortwave radio, was given to me back in the early 60s by my uncle, who was a Hallicrafters, and we spent a lot of time listening to shortwave, which was the thing to do. That was kind of like, you know, watching the internet. But you know, today it is easier than ever before to get that ham radio license, and you should really try. And one of the easiest websites to go to is QRZ.com, and they have all kinds of information there and directories you can find other ham radio operators there and take the online tests. And when I studied a lot, especially for my extra class, I used that website. And it's really not that difficult. You can get on there, and repetition is one of your biggest friends. It's kind of like in military training when I was in the Army. Repetition was always what we did in everything. That's how you get good at anything. And you may not understand what the questions are or what they mean, but repetition, you take the tests over and over and over again, eventually you will begin to recognize what the real answer is, and then you can go back and study. And they have also great reading materials there. I always recommend to people to do reading. Reading does special things for your intellect. And yes, people today, they want to watch a video, which is inadequate. If you read, reading does very special things for your brain. So, yeah, I want to encourage people to go out there and try, get that technician license, start getting involved. We have a lot of people that prepare, and they spend thousands and thousands of dollars on food and equipment and even, you know, munitions, and they completely neglect their communications.
They do.
They'll go out and buy a little portable junk CB radio that's not even a good CB. I mean, they can be practical. That Channel 3 is very practical. But they'll completely neglect their communications. And they're knowing what's going on, having a scanner, paying attention to what's going on in your own community within, you know, a good 25 miles. And then
that's
reaching
right.
out and listening.
Glenn, hold on. Glenn, hold on. We have a break here. We'll be right back, everybody. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. I want to talk to you for a moment about my friend Steve Hunt and his company, Gold Wealth Financial. That's goldwealthfinancial.com. You may not know, I didn't know until recently, that you could have gold and silver in your IRA. It's a wonderful idea. Many IRAs are subject to problems such as inflation or, in the event of an invested IRA, fluctuations in the stock market. Few people realize there's a smaller alternative, a precious metals IRA. Contact Steve at GoldWealthFinancial.com. If you don't have internet access, give them a call at 480-440-7100. Be sure and ask for the Rookie Mistakes Guide. It's free. He'll mail it to you. If you don't have internet access, he'll drop it a copy in the mail to you. If you have internet access, it's a free download at his website at GoldWealthFinancial.com. Great people, great service. Get in contact with my friend Steve Hunt. Thank you very much.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Wish I was in the land of cotton, old town there. I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on a frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in Dixie. Hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here on Friday, the 5th of April. Glenn, we do appreciate your call and the referral to the QRZ, Quebec Romeo Zebra website. It's very well done and nicely laid out and excellent information there, Glenn. We do thank you very much. And don't be a stranger. Please call any Friday we're talking about these matters.
Okay, I'll call in. But I really want to encourage people to go out there and get that technician's license. It's really not that difficult to test. But you got about 50 questions out of, you know, the pool questions. There's only some 300 and some odd pool questions out there. So, and they do change. So when you study them, take the test right away as soon as you can find a place to go test at. And it's not that difficult. Just study
Absolutely.
A little bit, and wow, it goes a long way. So you guys have a great day today.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you, Glenn. We appreciate the call. Tom, I'm at that website that Glenn referred us to, QuebecRomeoZebra.com, QRZ.com. It's a well-done website with loads of information there, and I think it needs to be right up there with the ARRL, in my opinion. It's a whole subculture that most people aren't aware even exists, aren't they, Tom?
Very true, John, very true. And, yeah, QRZ.com is a good one. I look at most of the websites for equipment. I look at their classified ads. Another one is QTH.com. And QTH has a classified section and some other discussion forums, I believe, and things like that. EHAM.net. is another one that's pretty good, and they have discussion forums as well as a classified ad section. So there's a lot of information available, as well as these testing sites that Glenn mentioned. Get on there and give it a try, and you'll learn. As Glenn said, the repetition, just keep taking that test until you have it down and you're passing consistently, getting a passing grade. I think it's 75%, if I recall properly,
right,
but
right.
Just keep getting that passing grade, and then you're ready to take the test. I think just about anybody could do it with a few weeks of study.
That's right. That's right. It's really not a big deal. Once you get into it, you'll find, what was I worried about? This is not a big deal. That's the conclusion most people will come to, won't they, Tom?
Yeah, that's true. It's once they get there, they'll look back and say, this wasn't so bad at all. And then the fun begins. You get on the air, and, of course, it's a continuous education. You'll be really asking a lot of questions. You'll be looking things up to learn the answers. You have to learn as you go. And, of course, a local ham radio club will be a good source of information as well,
right,
because
right.
you can get together with the people there and discuss ideas and discuss problems that you're having setting up your equipment, and they're always willing to help.
That's right. Tom, thank you very much, sir. We'll be talking privately soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
That's it for this hour. We got Dr. Lynn Wilbert coming up, hour two. Stay tuned.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.